Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. I'm standing on one side of the bar, and sitting on the other side of the bar are
Kevin McGuire and John Shaw.
John Shaw. We're doing a day and date show. It's Tuesday. No, fucking Thursday morning. I'm in Chicago. I'm tired. I didn't sleep a lot last night. I went back to my old Chicago schedule where I would work on artsy projects.
No art in D.C.?
No art in D.C. I'm the art in D.C., goddammit.
Avant-garde.
I'm avant-garde. Avant Chicago is my friend Brent Cato, who's in New Orleans. If he only listened to this show, I was going to compliment John's girlfriend by saying that this show is sorely lacking because 90% of my day and dates are with your girlfriend. But she doesn't listen to the goddamn show, so I'm not going to compliment
her. Yeah, so I can badmouth her now.
Yeah, what the fuck?
She's over the hell.
Let's go over Esmeralda's faults. Number one, what's her biggest fault? She's not going to listen.
I think it's that she's Mexican.
Oh, you don't like Mexican people?
Yeah.
I didn't know what wetback meant until about a year ago.
Really?
I didn't know why that was an insult.
Do you remember, like, when you were growing up, I remember this very specifically, like, people would say, so-and-so is a Jew.
Yeah. Like sort of Polak, like, he's a Dago.
Well, no, those are actually offensive. Jew isn't really offensive. It's just descriptive.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're
But I remember thinking it was, like, a bad word.
Jew in my household only meant from Hollywood.
Okay.
And money. Oh, it's a Jew banker. Like, why is that bad? I want to be a Jew banker.
Yeah, they control entertainment.
They control the banks and the entertainment. I like films and money.
Sure.
I want to be a Jew.
I always assumed that the derogatory term of Jew in modern context came from Eric Cartman in South Park.
Yeah, until Eric Cartman, no one ever badmouthed
a Jew. No, I'm saying, like, it wasn't a popular thing to do amongst the youth until Eric Cartman started doing it. Like, it was sort of...
I don't even remember that insult.
No? I mean, it was...
Well, there was one kid that's a Jew in South Park.
Yeah.
Kyle or whatever.
Kyle is a Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Kyle. He's a good guy.
In my hometown...
Kyle's an all-right bro.
There were only, like, two Jews at the school, so...
We're from the Midwest. There aren't many Jews. I went to a Catholic school.
How many Jews were at the Catholic school?
Two, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe two. I think they were the only group less represented than the African Americans. I think there was four.
Wow.
Four.
That didn't have that.
Four. You're from Dixon. How would you describe? Let's go back to Esmeralda. What's the worst part about Esmeralda? If you listen to the show, you know who Esmeralda is. Okay. Who is? What's the problem? Let's go over the list. Number one, top 100. We'll go top to bottom.
Top one, Mexican. Top two, Guatemalan. Top three, Chinese.
That's a great makeup. Number four. Number four.
It's not directly about Esmeralda, but I have a hard time because I can't communicate with her parents at all.
Oh, because one of them is Chinese and one of them is Mexican?
Well, something like that. Like, they both... her mom could barely speak any English, and her dad has a thick accent.
How is that bad? That's awesome.
It's really weird, because it's like... They're complete strangers to me, and they always will be.
Yeah. Do you bang them, too? Number five. We got 95 more reasons why you don't like Esmeralda. Number five. Come on, let's go.
I'll say that...
Kevin!
No, I'm having a hard time, so please jump
in.
She likes really terrible music for the most part. I'll say that. She likes...
Her favorite group's the Beatles. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that, but...
She likes the band Garbage.
That's one. That's number five.
You don't like Garbage?
I don't like Garbage.
I like the band
Garbage.
You know,
I like Shirley Manson, but that's it.
You know what I like about that, though?
Yeah, but Kevin, you don't like any of
this. She owns it. She doesn't have any guilty pleasures.
How does he take number five into a positive? Okay, number six. Number six.
She has a really awesome boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who likes a lot of stuff about her.
John, this is why you're not on the podcast anymore. You're very boring.
All right. How about this? She's extremely aggressive in the sense that she'll start shit.
She will literally hurt you physically.
Yes.
That's awesome.
She punched me once in the face.
She woke me up by punching me in the face. She told you you were going to get punched in the face and didn't believe her.
I got a good one then.
Number seven.
Speaking of getting woken up, like, she has a consistent habit, usually late at night when she comes home from the bar.
Yeah. I know where this is going.
Talking in her sleep.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Like, and saying, like, not just talking, but like sitting up and like acting out scenarios that are in, only in her head, and it's completely weird and random. Like, okay, the other day I was, you know, she woke me up because the wall above my head, like,
was it Pink Floyd's The Wall?
No, just like the wall.
A regular
next...
non Roger Waters presents The Wall.
Normal non Roger Waters wall.
Those are boring walls.
The wall next to our bed, above our heads, it, she was like poking at it and sliding her hands over.
Did it say,
it,
"Mother, can I trust the government?"
As if it were like a control panel, and she were trying to hit buttons.
Such a fucking nerd.
And then she said something like, "This fucking thing doesn't work," and she starts pounding on the wall, like loud enough that it wakes me up and everything.
Your girlfriend sounds like a Will Ferrell character.
Yeah, kind of. Well, weird shit like this happens all the time. Like,
hey, don't swear, okay? Family podcast. The Family Cast. You were doing Muggle Cast. You didn't know that? Oh, you may not remember what he stands for, Muggle Cast. It's just a really skewed acronym. For right. Muggle Cast.
That's you, me, them, everybody in Afrikaners.
What?
Yeah. Afrikaners.
What?
That's what they speak in.
You're getting ethnic now.
Africa. Like in South Africa. The Dutch white people.
What?
Is that.
Afrikaans.
You mean like in District 9?
Pecan Pie.
Like
I love pecan.
Of English they spoke?
Yeah, like the dude that was in District 9 was like a Dutch South
African. Oh!
It was the most esoteric language I could think of.
Thanks for using the term esoteric in podcasts. Thanks. Now we're in the cultural section. I don't even know where we're at. Do you know what section we're in? I think we might be in
performing
the
arts, I believe.
What the fuck is that?
It's the only thing that seemed appropriate when I was checking the boxes.
Yeah, it's such a stupid... We're the best. The end. Like, the best.
Is there a category for the best?
This is it.
In a sense that you do a live stage.
We're every show, you
when
know.
When I was thinking about that, I was like, well, Brandon has like people on the show that make movies and do theater and are in bands and are comedians. So yeah, yeah. I kind of figured that.
That's me. I'm all those things.
Podcasts about hosts.
Yeah. I want my own category. I gotta get. Hey, where's my Wikipedia page, motherfuckers? I need a Wikipedia. I deserve a Wikipedia page.
I know that you were mentioned on, I believe, Sally's or Charlie Beats.
I mentioned, yeah, I could have written an article about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Google hit for me.
Yeah.
No, I want a fucking Wikipedia page.
Well, I actually, one time I remember I started thinking about doing this, and this is back when I was still friends with Eric from Viewers Like You. Band that you were in for a little while.
Yeah, I played the bass guitar.
I thought that I would make a Wikipedia page because he didn't have one.
Yeah.
Right? And then I go to do it and it says, are you sure you want to do this? Are you affiliated with the thing that you're putting the page up? If so, you probably shouldn't do that. You should let the community put that up first. So I listened to Wikipedia and didn't make a page.
Hey, community TV show. Cast of community. Joel McHale specifically, because yeah. I love you. By the way, I'm on Glee. My 2011, the year of Glee.
It wasn't 2010.
And pee. I'm tired.
Is that a different? Is that on the IFC network? Pee.
That's not funny.
There's.
It's not funny.
I thought it was funny.
I know it's not. Do your own shitty show. I have the shitty show.
I was actually thinking about that just today.
That you should do your own show? What would your show be about?
What I because if anybody was listening
would
to one of the earlier shows.
Everybody, me,
I am
then you.
I am everybody but you.
Oh, that's actually not a bad title.
I already used that in one of the sketches.
Oh, man. I can't ever go back to the well.
But I thought that I would do that, though, and I would just, it'd be...
exactly. I am everybody but you. So no one would listen but you.
Right.
Because you are everybody but them.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep, that's an awful idea.
You know what I picture your podcast being is, have you ever seen the Onion videos where they have this old, like, curmudgeon from the 1930s? He's like an old prospector.
Doyle Redland?
No, it's the Onion News Network ones where it's a video thing. And, I guess it would be obvious to you if you had seen it.
I never watched the videos.
The internet knows what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. It was, I can't describe it any better than that. He basically goes off on his own little tangents about, like, you know,
women got that gumption, you gotta nail it down in them so they don't.
Kevin's an old-timey racist.
He is, by what he said tonight.
1, 2, 3, and 4, I believe.
Yeah, he hates anyone. What nationality are you, Kevin?
White.
What's the angriest white thing you could think of?
Irish.
Are you Irish?
Yeah, McGuire, that's my last name.
Oh, yeah. That's Irish, huh?
Yeah.
So I was listening to a stuff you should know today about Prohibition, and I never heard this before, but there's like two types of drinking, or drunks, I should say. The wet Europeans and the dry Europeans. I think I'm getting the terms.
I know that I listened to that episode, but I don't know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's great. And
that already sounds racist.
It's great, because the wet European stands for like the Italians, the Greeks, whatever, by the water, you know, the French. And those are people that drink consistently, but they never get wasted. And then there's the dry whatever, and that's like your England, your Ireland, your Polands.
Scandinavians, maybe?
Probably. And those are the people that don't drink every day, but when they drink, they get like blackout violent drunk.
Yeah.
What are you, Kevin?
I don't think that I've only blacked out.
Both.
I've only blacked out like twice in my life, but I definitely fall into that category.
I'm under the wet one, you know. I drink almost daily.
Well, you don't know what you are, so.
I don't know what I am. I don't know my dad.
Right.
Hi, Dad.
If you're listening.
Oh, no. I did this. Yeah, I don't know if everyone knows this. I did this to find my father.
This podcast.
You meet them, everyone. You might be my father. I'm not my father.
I might be my father.
Everybody, out of everybody, one of you are my dad.
Yeah.
Hi, listener dad. I don't love you. That's why I do shows on stage, because it's a sad attempt for love.
Yeah.
Thanks for not showing up, dick. That's because of you, I bought the single of Shaquille O'Neal's Biological Didn't Bother. You know that song?
No.
That was single one off of his second album, Shaq 2.
He has two albums?
He had three/and Greatest Hits. I had the Diesel was album number one. No joke. Number two is Shaq Fu, Da Return.
Does that have anything to do with the Super Nintendo
Genesis game? Based on that, yeah. It's
so it was about, like, mystical fighters?
It was about his search for his father.
Oh.
Ray took me from a boy to a man, and he's my father because my biological didn't bother. Me and Shaq have a lot in common. We both played for the Celtics.
So we
both suffer from gigantism.
Where do blacks fall in
this
category?
Whoa!
Yeah.
You're a real racist.
Yeah, I am.
Stop being so
racist. We already established it, but would blacks fall under the dry or the wet? They're not Europeans, but...
No. I don't think anyone falls into the nationality they're born, and it's just the type of drinker they are.
I think
they're a third category, and I fall under the black category, too.
Which is that?
The black, that
hypnotic.
That is third category.
Just that, that's, you're not going to describe
Hennessy.
It at all.
What is that?
I'm going to kill the joke.
Moist.
All right. Whenever I hear the term moist, I think of child rape.
I think of the song Moist Vagina.
Yeah.
Nirvana.
By Nirvana.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Live Tonight Sold Out? Live Tonight Sold Out.
No, I never saw that.
Is a Nirvana kind of a concert film. It's brilliant. They edited it. It was all about the Nevermind and Bleach era stuff. Mostly Nevermind. And they're playing in Brazil. And Brazil is very, very homophobic, and that's why they wore dresses on stage.
Yeah.
And the MC, probably a radio show host, goes, Nirvana! So I always, when I say Nirvana, I go, Nirvana!
Nirvana!
It's very fun to mispronounce words.
Isn't Brazil the place that has the carnival?
Yes.
Thing? How are they homophobic? That is like all about being
gay during that 1 week. That's the thing. They build it all up all year long, and then they're gay for a week, and then that's it.
Don't you know what the down low means? The term down low?
I guess not.
Keep it on the down low.
Yeah, you pretend to be straight, and then you have sex with men on the side in secret.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's not really pretending to be straight. But you like both. A hole's a hole, a mouth's a mouth.
That's
a
fine.
A dick and a vagina.
That is the actual history of the term.
Yeah, the download. Keep it down low.
I didn't know that.
I'm going to go cheat on my wife or girlfriend or woman and fuck a dude. But it's usually a dude dressed in drag. So keep it on the download, Sean.
Yeah.
That's news to me.
White. You're very boring to me right now. These two guys have been in the... Shut up! Now talk when I say it. These two guys have been in the bar tonight, and I thank you for that. I appreciate your company. You had the most boring conversation. What were you talking about for like hours at a point of time while I was busy doing awesome things?
Well, I think John should say, because I was mostly just countering what he was saying. So he was the one.
No, it was a conversation. It was not a monologue with an audience. What was the conversation?
He brought it up.
What was that conversation?
I'll let him say it.
Basically, the idea of reality being subjective.
No, keep going. And what? And how did it start?
And what is? How can you determine truth? Is math even truth?
Right. Right.
There was robots involved.
Yeah, the idea of a simulation of a human, is that as equally human as, you know, is that?
Esmeralda, if you've ever wondered, this is proof that your boyfriend will never cheat on you. Because even if he wanted to, I don't even think he could go on the down low with this type of shit.
No, it would have to be with somebody like me.
These two are voted.
Yeah, yeah.
God, you're so fucking boring.
I think it was a very interesting conversation. I was able to use
I will never make as much money as you two, because I don't talk about things like this.
What do you talk about?
Nothing good or positive. I just scream about Shaquille O'Neal.
Nirvana.
I love Nirvana. That's a mashup in heaven. I'm waiting for heaven.
Shaq Fu/In Utero.
Shaq Fu In Utero is my favorite album. Yeah, why didn't anybody mash up those two albums?
Get on that internet.
Yeah, after you build me my awesome Wikipedia page, somebody needs to mash up Shaq Fu, Da Return, and Nirvana's In Utero, track by track, and call it Shaq Fu, Da In Utero. Parentheses, rape me, because my biological didn't bother. I have all the references. I'll never be able to use it. Jimmy Fallon's not going to call, hey, I'm in a tight suit. You got any Shaq food jokes? Because I do. I got them in spades.
My suit is really tight. I always thought that. Is that weird to refer to?
He wears a fucking tight suit.
Yeah, he does.
Fallon wears a... He can pull it off. It's not going to rip.
Well, he seems like a fairly... Dude, attractive man. That's one thing I always hear about that dude. Like he's
a cute guy.
Yeah.
Speaking of cute men, not me.
Not Shaq.
Shaq is a man. Shaq Fu is a lovable man. How does he not have more endorsements? I know he's got like 8. He should have 30.
He was on an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Shaq was? Was he funny?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Shaq's brilliant.
Yeah. He was in the hospital and then... Somebody found out that he was in the hospital, and he was a huge fan of Seinfeld. And he really,
Shaq?
Yeah, in the show. I don't know if he is it in real life, but and then Larry David brought down the contest episode on VHS to him in the hospital, and it was very awkward because Larry David loves to have awkward things with black people on his show.
I don't think that point was driven home. Listener at home, Kevin did something amazing with his hands. It was like a chopping block motion. No reason. Didn't call for it at all. I have no idea what that meant.
It's a universal symbol for awkward things with black people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus. You made it racist again, John Shaw. John Shaw is a racist, everybody. Hey, your girlfriend's a racist, too. I said that about 30 times on the podcast.
And we'll find out if she listens.
She's never said a bad word about any race. She's a huge racist to me.
Yeah.
Huge racist. I'm in town because it's the end of the month, and that means I'm doing You, Me, Them, Everybody Live. Why am I doing this? I don't know why. I can't figure it out.
Why are you doing the show, or why are you back in Chicago?
Why am I doing the show at all? I don't understand why I want to do this. It's not...
I don't really either.
It's not healthy.
Well, you were saying earlier you want to get attention because you didn't have a real dad and you weren't loved, right?
I was loved sexually with dicks. Mike Leibowitz, everybody. Mike Leibowitz is going to be a guest.
There you go.
I think I've said it more than him now. I think it's become mine by proxy. I'm Carlos Mencia. He's my dad.
I hope he shows up on Monday and then there's a weird interaction we could put on YouTube.
Yeah.
And everybody will know about it.
Oh, YouTube. Yeah. You're so fantastic.
Yeah. A half hour conversation about YouTube riffing on your own dick.
Yeah, pretty much.
It'll be gold.
I think I've I think I understand now why I do a talk show, because of that specific reason. See, when you're the host of the show, you need to drink water more than the guest. So when I go to reach for my glass, I need one of you two motherfuckers to chime up, not stare at me.
Right.
I'm about to drink water.
Well, you got to fill the dead air while he's drinking his water.
No, that's actually water. Oh. The beer is here. The beer is to the left. The water. If this was the talk show, I'd also have a coffee and a whiskey on stage, because I like four drinks at once.
Yeah.
Audience, get out your graph paper. We're talking about a glass of water.
Put that in the Wikipedia article!
Yeah.
When Brandon's at home, he likes to drink water. Around 5 or 6 p.m., he likes coffee. Around 8 or 9, he likes to have wine. Around midnight, he likes to go between beer and whiskey and water. If he's doing a talk show, he likes beer, whiskey, wine, water, all at once, alternating, and consumes them all at an equal pace.
And right. Your gay voice just dropped away.
That's not my gay voice! I don't have a gay voice!
That's his personal assistant voice.
Oh, yeah, I need a personal assistant.
Remember when we had that producer on the show?
Oh, yeah, Jennifer.
Yeah.
She died.
She, what?
To me, she's
dead. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
She might be dead, though.
She might be. She did like to drink a lot.
She liked to drink a lot. I don't care.
Yeah.
Everyone gets so freaked out. You're like, don't die, or you're going to die. Ricky Carmona, I booked him for the March show, like March 28th.
He's really good on Twitter.
He's my favorite Twitterer in Chicago. And he's like, are you sure? It's kind of far off. I'm like, well, just don't die on the 29th. He's like, perfect, I'll die on the 30th. That's the kind of response I want. That's what I booked him. If you can't joke about your own death, fuck off! You guys, more Kevin than John, fans of stand-up comedy like myself, I go to a lot of open mics more than usual because I'm trying to find these new comics, and I think I've had my litmus test. If you can tell a very funny 9/11 joke, and instead of going, I'm joking, when everyone's sighing and just stare, you're probably funny. I've yet to see a bad comedian do a good 9/11 joke. And I know a 9/11 joke's going to be like, my girlfriend's so black, she just black. Or these Hispanics, she black, so she's black. No. It's not as hack as you think it is. Yeah, if you do a 9/11 bit or a Junior Stopka tag about 9/11, it's fucking brilliant. And it's great. And it's not too far. Like, you do a Holocaust joke, and it's kind of safe. You know, South Park did a whole goddamn episode about it. 9/11, still pretty fresh.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Drew Michael does a whole bit about 9/11. It's fucking brilliant. If you don't know Chicago comedy, fuck off! What is that voice? I think I'm a chicken mascot.
Well, you do have that picture of you in the chicken suit.
Oh, that's my press photo.
Yeah.
Put that in the Wikipedia page, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's use that for the picture on this particular podcast.
The 2010 press photo involved me in a chicken suit and a sparkler. Next to about 500 books indoors, which is a bad idea. As soon as I looked at the thing, I'm like, this is a fucking stupid idea.
Yeah. Can people read the books in the picture?
Yeah. Charlie Dietz. You can actually tell that I alphabetized by author. Oh, in the Wikipedia page, everybody, this is how I like to organize my books. Shelf one, authors from Chicago in alphabetical order by author name. After that, the release date of book. Number two, authors in general, not by subject matter, authors in general, once again, release date after. Not title, release date. Put that in the Wikipedia page, wikis out there.
Oh, God, I'm already falling asleep. It's so boring.
I'm very interesting. Get your own goddamn
talk. Just build our own You, Me, Them, Everybody wiki?
Yes!
Instead of add to Wikipedia?
Yes! There was a wiki that I helped very little. I helped do. It was a zine wiki. And it was fucking great. Do you know what a zine is, everybody?
I know what
at home.
It's really funny. I will talk. Sometimes I'll talk to people about that, and they'll be like, a "Zine? What?"
Yeah, it's a zine. It's a tribute to the band Zwan and the film Zine. Signs. Those are my favorite things.
Yeah, they came out around the same time, didn't they? Yeah.
They're about aliens that hate water and bald men in second career acts. I love those. Are my two favorite things. See, I'm quick.
Another thing for the wiki. That we're gonna.
That's my favorite two things in the world, equally favorite.
Right.
Signs and the band Zwan. God. Quick fun fact: never saw the movie Signs. Don't own the album by Zwan. They're my favorite.
I like the movie Signs. Not a lot of people do. I thought it was really good.
No, I'm busy.
I think a lot of people give M. Night Shyamalan a real hard whatever. They don't
hard
like
dick.
Any shit. Yeah, they give him a hard dick.
Hard dicks!
Because he likes it, and he's gay.
What?
No.
Hey, that's sexist.
It's fine. You can like a dick if you're gay. It's fine. Or a woman, I suppose. But,
Kevin's on the down.
But what I'm trying to say, really, is I've had a lot of arguments with people.
This
about,
is going to be one of those shows where I listen back and I hate myself.
Yeah, you're not going to post this, probably.
I'm going to post it. I promise you I post it.
Good. But about the movie Signs, I really like the movie Signs. I hate two things, Mel Gibson and religion. And this movie has to do with both of these things.
So it's
things.
Like a double negative.
Yes, but I still like the movie. And it's weird.
No, that's a double negative.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So those,
it's mad, idiot.
I never
that
really...
That was part of our boring conversation
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah.
So is trying to...
like math?
No, I don't actually.
Do you like math?
I was arguing against math.
Yeah.
I never liked the calculators that was controlled by the sun! You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the
solar-powered
I've never heard of
it. Fucking solar-powered.
Yep.
Bullshit. You know what else? Yeah.
What the fuck are you going to do when the sun finally burns out, huh?
You have to do all your math by hand, that's what. Right?
No, what if you're indoors?
And then your calculator is dead. You can't charge it. It's got no power.
Bad.
You have to do all your math by hand.
Yeah, that's stupid.
That was my joke.
Yeah, it's not funny!
Yeah.
God damn it, Kevin.
All that math being influenced by the liberal sun agenda.
What? Now you're political?
I definitely
racist.
Think that the sun is liberal and the moon is conservative.
Why? Wouldn't it be the opposite? Dems like to party at night. Republicans like to beat slaves in the sun. Republicans still have slaves in my mind, by the way.
Yeah, well...
By the way, I have a really good friend that worked for the Republican Party, and I like him. He's a good guy.
Yeah?
No joke, yeah. First guest ever on the show, Mike Gamboni, worked for the Republican Party. I love the guy. He's awesome.
I remember when I found that out, I was really surprised.
I think...
Because I liked him, I assumed he was a liberal.
Here's my new thing. I no longer like political people.
Because you live in D.C.?
Because I live in D.C. It's not people that follow politics, it's people in politics.
Right.
I don't like any of them.
Yeah.
They're the people, I did a monologue about this, they're the people in high school that never got beat up and always wanted to beat up others, but just use their mind instead. Fuck off! Create something. Do something nice.
Wasn't that what you were just saying earlier? We asked you if you'd ever been in a fight, and you're like, no. I talked my way out of it.
I talked my way out of it, but I didn't want to punish the other people.
I see.
I just wanted to take their money. It's different.
That sounds very political to me.
No, I'm very
political. So you talked your way into stealing lunch money? Is that what you're saying?
You know, I never stole lunch money. I never actually stole money from a kid or nothing like that. I wouldn't do that. I'll steal money from big corporations.
I'd steal their dignity.
Because I'm a liberal, and I'll steal this book by Abby Hoffman, and
right.
I'll steal this movie starring Vincent D'Onofrio.
Is that based on the book?
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm serious.
It's not really based. It's actually more, it's based on Abby Hoffman's life.
All right.
Steal this book was the book. And then there's Steal This Album by System of a Down.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
I like System of a Down. You're a guitarist. You'll like this fact. The dude from System of a Down doesn't use distortion. He'll just record 40 layers of guitar until it sounds distorted.
That sounds inefficient.
It's inefficient, but it creates a sound that can't really be duplicated by any other act. You can't really steal that distortion.
I guess. I mean, it's a unique sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That alone is worth listening to. It's like you like Mars Volta or not, you can appreciate somebody using 40 pedals. It's neat. You don't have to like the song that they're playing. It's just neat. Like John. John, you're just neat to me. You're just neat.
That's flattering.
You don't know what to say. You don't know what to say.
How many pedals do you use,
yeah,
John?
Zero.
I noticed...
I only have a
slight
amount of
distortion. By the way, Wikipedia, no, Brandon, when he plays a rock and roll show, prefers to use 6 pedals, everybody. 6 pedals, one of which is a tuner. I like 6 pedals. I use 3 consistently. The other one is just for when I'm trying to overdrive, and it's a metal zone. I use my metal zone only when I want high-end feedback.
Yeah.
I usually use it at the beginning or end of a song to transition into another song. Because I don't like breaks in sets. I like to play 30 minutes straight.
So people don't know when they're supposed to clap.
I don't give them a chance to clap because I can't stand the judgment.
Right.
Nope, I got a blast.
That's what I noticed, and you mentioned in another podcast that I'm the type of person that likes the band Shellac.
Yeah, you
absolutely are.
You're an angry white male.
Exactly.
And you wear black rimmed glasses. I'm wearing them as well.
Right. But one of the things I like about Shellac on their latest album, Excellent Italian Greyhound, they have this thing, and like most of the songs, when the song is over, they just play the same chord twice really fast. Da-na!
I never noticed.
Signaling to you that the song is over.
I really like that. Well, if you've ever seen Shellac, which I know you have,
yeah.
Their banter is about half the set.
3 minutes long, 3 minutes of Steve Albini. 3 minutes long, 3 minutes of Steve
Albini. And they always do the question and answer thing.
Yeah, it's an event.
I love Shellac.
It's a variety show. We're going to get them on the show. Hey, Steve, I know you're a big podcast fan.
Yeah, totally.
When you're writing my
all digital, so I know you like listening to
when
it.
When you're writing my Wikipedia page, write down that I want you to play You, Me, Them, Everybody live at the Hungry Brain.
It's just a short walk, actually.
It is a short walk. He's down the street.
Yeah.
Oh, God, why am I not dead? This is awful.
Because you moved to D.C.
I'm 28 now. I just turned 28.
Oh, you're so old.
No, I'm not so old. It's like, wow, I really passed up a great year of death.
Yeah, you didn't die when you were 27.
I died when I was 27. Now I got a... Ian, the piano player for the D.C. show, said I could always pull a Christ. I got 4 more years to pull a Christ.
I just Christ died when he was 30,
would
right?
Would you have to resurrect yourself then?
Yeah. In audio form and on my Wikipedia page that I know all you listeners are going to write. Yeah.
Right, also,
I'm just like Jesus.
I'll start working on that.
I have decent hair.
You know, for your legacy.
Yeah. I love prostitutes and fish.
Yeah.
That means I love going down on prostitutes, by the way.
Right.
That's my joke.
That's economy.
You what?
Know, you get the prostitute and the fish.
I like the idea
in
of
one thing.
Economy size. Like, I only love really large prostitutes.
And really large fish.
And really large fish.
I like to pick up women at Friday night fish fries.
I'm very religious. Don't make fun of my religion. My religious beliefs. Oh, yeah, in the Wikipedia page, write that I'm a very religious man, but never clarify which religion. Because I'm not.
You're really into Jainism.
Yep, that's it.
I don't even know what that is.
Jane Lynch praising.
Yes.
I'm a Glee fan.
Yeah, you're really... Yeah, the show P on the IFC network.
It's not funny! It's not... The more you resurrect it, the more people realize, holy shit, I'm glad this guy isn't the day-and-date guy. I miss Esmeralda not listening to the show.
Right.
Hey, Merle, let's see if you listen to this one, bitch.
Yeah.
Ooh, I've never called her
I'll probably
before.
Tell her to listen to this.
Don't ever listen. She's gonna hit me in the face. No, you're not a bitch. Shit.
So Brandon.
Yes.
You do the show when
someone's
you do
the, taking the reins.
When you do the show here in Chicago, you have Esmeralda as your co-host.
Yeah.
When you do the show in DC, you don't really have a co-host.
I do not.
You have noticed that
I thought the piano player was.
You
your
do kind of talk to
I'll
Ian
do an,
more.
I'll do an opening with him. I'll have Paul Schaefer, but he doesn't get to participate in the interview.
He's more like Paul Schaefer like as Paul opposed Schaefer. To Andy Richter or Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
If you found somebody that would be suitable, would you get a new co-host in DC?
Yeah, but it's not a new co-host in DC. It's a co-host in DC.
The DC co-host versus the Chicago co-host.
Yeah, totally.
All
right. I'm replacing all of you people.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm just gonna get a bunch of black men in drag. So let the blow me between the segments.
Because he's on the down though.
Yeah,
would
down.
You go as far as developing the DC podcast with a completely different style as the Chicago podcast then?
The live show's always gonna be the live show. The live show, like, I can't be a different brand.
Well, you did a pretty good job of not being angry and yelling.
I'm trying so hard. It sucks. It sucks so bad. I just want to scream at people, and I'm trying.
It comes out like
you can
cracks,
tell. You can tell. Yeah. Oh man, it's bad. No, I'm trying to be a nice person. It's not going well. It's not. I'm not even angry. I'm just more bored. You know what I mean? Like, now that the show's up and running over there, like, the thrill is fucking gone. It's still harder to pack this place. The Hungry Brain seats a lot of people. And when we started here, it didn't feel like a lot of people. But then you realize, holy shit, this place could seat, like, 90 people. That's a big fucking room. Like, it feels like I'm doing Zanies. The size of Zanies.
How many people is the Looking Glass hold?
In the main room itself, maybe 30.
Okay.
So it's not... the first 2 weeks we were packed, and then the second week we only had, like, 15, 20. But even so, there's a bar downstairs, and they transmit it, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, on the speakers.
The whole bar could hear it. Yeah, we're in the PA.
Interesting.
Which is weird, because, like, I keep forgetting people at the bar, because occasionally I hear someone yell, "Shut up!" And they're not talking to me. They're talking about somebody sitting in the bar, and they want to hear the show. And it freaks me the fuck out.
Yeah.
And it's also weird to do crowd work from somebody 50 feet away, and they're down like a half flight of stairs.
If you can do crowd work downstairs, I think you can do crowd work anywhere.
Yeah. Hey-o! That was funny! Did you even know that was an innuendo?
No, I didn't.
That's what made it funny!
But I didn't know.
Because you didn't laugh at the end of it. You didn't pull a Dane Cook.
It's fun.
No, it sounds like
it feels more professional. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, and it also sounds like because it's the Washington, D.C. with happy hours and like and stuff, like you're getting a consistently larger audience there.
Their happy hour ends when the Hungry Brain opens. Their happy hour ends at 8 p.m. or we're at 8:30, and they're open at 5, and they serve food. So there's people there the entire time. Unlike here, where we open at 8, we start the show at 9, and usually people don't show up till 9:30.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we'll start the show, and the monologue, I'll feel fucking no energy. And that really matters. It's really weird. You wouldn't think it would, but I'd rather have a packed bar with people talking and not paying attention than 20 people listening. Like, I kind of want to have to win them over in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it feels more professional there. It feels like it's like, oh, I'm a stranger in a strange town. I have to try my hardest and win people over. And if I don't, I don't. And if that happens, just don't give up. And people in theory are listening online. And it's a weird dichotomy. I don't even think I'm using that word correctly. It's a weird situation that sure. I'm in. It is fun. I love doing it. But it feels like a job that I've always wanted rather than a very fun time that I get to have once a month like here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Burps.
Yeah.
So wait, what's the deal with the New York podcast?
The New York show.
Is like, are you now doing 3 live shows a month?
Yeah.
He's doing more than that.
I'm doing 6 live shows a month. 1 here, 1 New York, 4 D.C.
4 D.C.
Yeah, it's weekly.
Yeah.
It's weekly in D.C. So we went from 1 to 2 to 1 to 6. And hopefully we'll be doing 7 and 8 very soon because I want to get Baltimore and Philadelphia up and running.
So do you ever, like, go on, like, Craigslist and, like, look
no.
at, like, hosting jobs?
Fuck no. No, I mean, why would I do that?
It's a joke.
It's not a joke. But
obviously because I laughed afterwards, so it's not a joke.
Yeah, it's obviously not funny, but it's meant to be a joke.
I think it's funny that there would be a category under, like, hosting gigs.
Yeah, but make
wanted somebody with a podcast to host.
Wikipedia page, list all the things that Brandon said Kevin is not funny about. And let's see if it's longer than my bio. Because I'm going to go with yes. Just from this one episode, I'm sure you can make it longer.
Yeah, well, you don't think anything I say is funny.
No, I said the one thing you said was funny. I don't even know it was a joke.
It was sort of a joke.
No, well, you can't take credit.
No, all I meant it for was to be like a callback because we were talking about the down low earlier. And then I didn't think about the fact that
but that's not
the
what
two
made
levels
it funny.
Of the bar.
That's not what made it funny.
If I had known that when I had said it,
you would have giggled and not said it. You would have fucked it up. Jesus. I want this to be my career. Mm-hmm. As crazy as that sounds, I want to do an Orson Welles, and this is part of that, you know?
Impresario?
Yeah.
Host?
Whenever I hear the word impresario, I think of magician.
So you want to do magic?
I want to do magic.
Right.
Pretty much this is an excuse for me to be a magician's assistant and then murder him.
It's a really long
I'll
route.
I'll be the magician.
To it. Because, I mean, if you really wanted to be a magician's assistant.
And then I can perform on President Turtle. That's too inside.
You would, you should be like a attractive woman.
I am an attractive
and
woman.
Wear sequins.
I do wear sequins. Why did my voice get high?
Because you're an attractive woman and you're wearing sequins.
Maybe you should smoke more.
Okay. Right, that usually, yeah.
Gone
smoke
done.
Virginia Slims. That'd make your voice sound really high.
I have a girlfriend that smokes those. It's hilarious.
She still smokes them to this day?
Yeah. She didn't smoke them until she moved to Greece.
I can just imagine that.
Hilarious.
Welcome to you, me. Everybody.
It's me, Phyllis Diller. You can't tell the difference. You know, the weirdest part about doing the show is that Kelsey listens to the show. My girlfriend listens to the show.
I never thought she did.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
But then she'll bring up shit 3 weeks later. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it.
Yeah.
But she's supportive, and it's weird.
Supportive?
Yeah, it's weird to have support.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I don't understand that either.
You thrive on being a lone wolf kind of thing. What do you mean? Like
a lone wolf?
How's it weird?
Host impresario.
I don't know why it's weird.
MC.
Do you listen to Esmeralda do this show?
Sure.
Did you say anything about it?
Sometimes.
What does she say? I don't remember.
I only ever listen to the show when they talk about me. So I listen to
shows.
Sometimes, yeah. You
so
guys
no DC
quite a bit.
Shows, no music podcasts.
Right. But you and Esmeralda will be like, I was talking to Kevin the other day, and he said this dumb thing. I like that. You guys mention me. That's all I care about. All
right, we know where you stand.
Yeah.
But does she say anything back to you?
Only in the sense that, like,
is she like, fuck off?
We're talking about the same situation, so I'll start. Oh, you guys had this joke, and she'll finish my thought. It's nothing like.
She doesn't give you. You don't give her notes or anything.
Not really.
I get notes.
Stop being so Mexican all the time.
Jesus Christ. The best part. part is Merle sounds more like a robot than either. She sounds like the idea of a radio voice. She's got the fucking perfect voice.
I would be interested because like I knew her before. I mean, I met her in person and saw her before she ever talked. I would like to know what people think she looks like just by listening to the podcast.
That's the thing. It's
like you should get viewer or listener like fan art and be like, well, here's what I think Esmeralda looks like.
I hope it's just a box. It just says radio.
A box with a mouth.
She's an android. She's
They just draw android. She uses an android phone!
Oh my god.
Holy shit!
Shit just got real.
That never made sense to me, but it's a fun line. Shit just got... When was shit fake? Even when shit is fake, it's pretty real.
You're on the toilet. You're getting it's all just fake crapping. Shit. It's all fake. All of a sudden...
More of like the toy dog poo.
Yeah.
Like the idea of real talk.
No, real talk is the best talk.
Whose show is called Real Talk? Isn't there like a Bill Maher?
Real Time.
Real Time, right.
Real Time.
Speaking of Real Time with Bill Maher, we're doing a midweek show at Chief Likes. We're starting this in January. It's the midweek in review, and it's McLaughlin style, Bill Maher style show, where I'm going to be hosting that. That's a different format. So, John, yeah, we are experimenting with the format. And
that's going to be political, though.
It's going to be everything. It's going to be cultural.
Okay. So like a best week ever?
Kinda, yeah. But not 10 seconds for each really funny comic. Right. And
I've never seen the Real Time with Bill Maher because I don't have HBO. But
get the podcast. It stands up as an audio podcast. Yeah.
Is it this? Is the same content?
It's exact. It's just not visual. You don't need to see the show.
No, absolutely not.
The show is way better as an audio thing.
Huh.
And here's the thing, Bill Maher. That show is fucking awesome.
I always like Politically Incorrect. I saw that movie, Religious. I like Bill Maher.
It's too preachy.
I liked it.
Religious.
I thought it was good.
It's preaching the converted, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
So.
But
we're
I am.
Supposed to disagree or we don't have content.
But I am the converted, so I like it.
Well, obviously, you only like people that agree with you that are white.
It was offensive. The way he depicted Jesus as
a nice guy.
As a nice man.
He's a nice bro. He brought it up.
It was completely offensive because I like my Jesus angry and revengeful.
That was more moat. There's only the temple. That's a Jew thing, isn't it? Temple.
Yeah, going to temple.
I gotta be Jewish. Maybe if I switch religions, I'll have a talk show on TVs.
Yeah, you'd be part of the Jewish establishment.
I get really upset. Oh man, every fucking show I do, and that somebody's never seen a show before. You got a fucking great thing going on. This is what you need to do. No, I don't. Because fuck you. You no one has any idea what I'm trying to do unless they're doing comedy, unless they're hosting a talk show. There's 4 people in Chicago that know what I'm doing. That's it. There are 0 people that know what I'm doing. CJ Toledano and Joe from the Late Life Show, they can tell me what I'm doing. Mark Bazaar, who does the interview show at the Hideout, he can tell me what I'm doing. The dude that does the talk show at IO, he can tell me, he can relate and give me notes.
So when you're saying, like, know what I'm doing, you mean, like, they do a similar thing and they can give me advice?
Yes.
Because, for example, I've seen pretty much every show you've done in Chicago.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing from that point of view that I've seen them.
But you can't tell me career-wise.
Oh, I don't know anything about fucking hosting. God, that's frightening to me.
That's the thing. It's so frustrating. And that's all I get in D.C. I mean, it's people that mean well. They're nice.
Well, they
nice
probably
people.
Are. I mean, as a person, my characterization of people in D.C. is... I know,
just don't. Don't care. Yeah, you don't characterize them. It's the same, exact same
like,
in Chicago.
I suppose.
Everyone's the same as everywhere.
I
Idaho is the same.
I feel like that in DC, you get a lot of people that were like in the leadership group or whatever, like presidents of the student council school. So like they think of themselves as a leader, which a host is kind of a leader.
Yeah.
You know,
we're
I wonder about this. I think of Chicago a lot as a.
Followers.
I'm not sure the word immigrant is right, but it's like everybody who lives in Chicago, hardly anyone actually came from Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it how similar is
no
DC?
No one
in
is
respect?
From DC.
Really?
Very few people. And if they're from DC, they're leaving DC.
Right.
The only people I've met from DC that have been on the show have been comics, and they're about to go to New York or LA.
Right.
Like, they all want to leave. Or they're nearby, and they grew up there, and then they came back after college.
What about, again, I always mention this every time you talk about D.C. because I love them, but, how about, Fugazi, right?
What about it?
Ian MacKaye.
Yeah.
I believe grew up outside of D.C., mm-hmm. right? and then they toured a lot, but they still live there, right?
They live in D.C., yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he's in the Evens now. Yeah. That's the one band I know that he's working
with. They're
good,
still. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, they seem to be like, we're from D.C.
That's
it's
a music
part of
thing.
Their part of yeah, their the music identity.
Thing. Yeah, none of the musicians I've met are from D.C., but they're, like, they're proud to be there now.
Yeah.
Like, bands are from Chicago. They're proud to be Chicago.
Another
bands.
Thing that I didn't realize, like...
No, the D.C. music scene is awesome.
I saw this like documentary about Fugazi. It was Instrument that movie, and they were they said in the documentary that when Fugazi tours, they'd play shows, but when they were in DC, they'd only play benefit concerts, which I thought was interesting. I don't know why they chose to do that.
Because they only I don't know.
I was just wondering if you have any
idea. No, I have no idea why.
You live there. Tell me everything about this
no
band that doesn't exist
how
anymore.
This relates to anything we've been talking about.
I just like Fugazi, that's all.
I got that.
Yeah.
Of course you like Fugazi. They played with Shellac.
Yes. Yes. There's that one song on the new album where Bob Weston is referencing a Fugazi song. Here Comes the Argument.
Oh.
It's a Fugazi song.
Good.
Yeah.
That exists, John. I'm sure you're very interested in this, as I'm sure all the listeners at home are.
I believe him.
He's your Jesus. Kevin, you're John's Jesus.
But, so is there, like, okay, based
that
on what
be
I know...
absolutely great.
If Kevin was your Jesus...
Kevin is my personal Jesus.
You'd be like, I'm doing all right with my life.
Yeah, I'm fucking Depeche Mode.
I like Depeche Mode.
I do, too.
Oh, DM.
Yeah. But no, okay, so you said that you like the music scene in D.C.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What is it like?
It's just, it's no different than any other city.
Yeah.
Really great. The difference between Chicago and D.C. is the music, in terms of music, is it's kind of smashed together. It's a very, very small town, so it won't be the exact same type of band on every lineup, which is awesome. I mean, right. In clubs it is. Clubs or whatever. Clubs,
well, I mean, they organize
shows. I consider club shit.
Okay.
But that's in Chicago, too. Like, I love the bottle. I love the hideout. But I'd rather see a show at a house, you know? And in D.C., there's a lot more spaces that have, like,
do
awesome...
Do house shows?
Yeah, not house, but, like, space shows.
Okay.
And the lineups are fucking great, and the people are really cool. And there's a lot of bands touring from Philadelphia, or obviously Baltimore, because it's so close.
Right.
And New York, that are playing there every weekend. So, like, you'll see a house show, and in Chicago, it's, like, three bands, maybe one's from, like, Aurora. But in D.C., it's like maybe one band's from D.C. and the rest are from everywhere. And they're really cool, and they're really nice people, and I think that's a major difference. There's, like, no hipsters there.
Huh. No hipsters?
Like, I'm a hipster in D.C. Like, I'm a straight-up fucking hipster because I don't work for the government. I'm not a journalist. Like, I'm a hipster because I don't do those things.
You seem to have nothing but glowing things to say about D.C.
In terms of the music, yeah.
Well,
fuck yeah.
Okay, then tell me some things you really dislike about
the comedy scene there. The comics I've asked to do the show are good. I like them. They're good. But the Chicago comedy scene is
there's that one dude that you had in the show,
better.
Michael Foody. He was hilarious.
He's amazing. He's gonna he's like the Junior Stavka.
Yeah, he seemed
of DC.
He
like he's like a completely original voice.
Yes, yes.
That will probably never make it because he's an original voice. People don't like original voices. Junior Stavka only works as Junior Stavka. Isn't it a catchphrase? He does. No, I'm serious.
I'm just trying to think of what his catchphrase would be.
Like he's kind of like a Lewis Black. Like people are going to imitate him, but he's the fucking first.
Like a Mitch Hedberg. Kind of,
yeah.
Well, he had a lot of imitators.
Yeah. But, like, Foodie's amazing.
Yeah, he was really good.
But do you ever see Foodie getting big? Could you see Foodie touring, like, Zanies or something?
No.
No, he's too good.
Well, I always thought that about, like, a Zach Galifianakis. Like, I thought he was an original voice, but he got big. He got really
That's
big.
True. That's true. I don't know. That's my main complaint. Like, there's not nearly as many good comics.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm talking about culturally here. These are my problems.
I feel like the only reason people like Zach Galifianakis is ironically.
No, he's
genuinely really funny.
Yeah.
I have not seen him be genuinely really funny.
Google him doing, or not Google, YouTube, whatever. Google it. I'm going to go with Bing it. Bing it.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla. Fucking Adam Carolla.
Does he do that?
He does Bing commercials now, which
is
great.
He's sponsored by them?
Yeah, Bing pays him money.
I didn't know that.
It's always great because he's like, I never used the computer. And all these Bing ads are like, I want an Hungarian food. So I looked up Hungarian food. And he's trying to sell it, but like three episodes ago, he's like, I don't use the computer. It's fucking brilliant. I love Carolla. He's the best. I'm serious. He's fucking great.
I like him
this
too.
This format. Like, we're all trying to be that.
let's be honest, all these podcasts, we're all just trying to do Corolla. Even though most of us started before Corolla, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to find our
Well, he's been doing broadcasting for a long time.
Yeah, the dude found his voice. Yeah. He ran with it. He didn't compromise in any way. And he's really good, and it's hard work.
Yeah.
Kevin and I fought about hard work earlier tonight. No, we did. Kevin and I got lunch today, and he's like, all these comics are, or all these people are getting things they don't deserve because they don't, they just work hard. I'm like, yeah, that's all it is. It's not about pure talent.
I was actually thinking about that.
Talent doesn't mean shit. Do you think I have talent? No, that's why I'm a host.
No, I completely disagree. I do.
What's my talent? I don't have a fucking talent. No one that you remember as
you
talent.
You yell very well.
Oh, that's not a talent.
That's a talent.
The ideas behind the yelling are pure anger.
I was thinking about
Carole
this.
Is not talented. I'm not talented.
No, he is. No, he's talented.
He's not. He's good at what he does, but that doesn't make him talented. He's not gifted in any way. He's a
I wouldn't say that he is any more talented than an average person, but he has a very good conversationalist.
No, he's not talented. He's a natural. Fine. What I should have said is all that shit is his hard work. It's just consistent hard work at what he wanted to do, and what he does now seems to be just pure talent, but it's just hard fucking work.
No, I think, yeah, the thing that I have a problem with that I was trying to get at earlier, but I wasn't able to because you were yelling at me all the time, is that I think that if there's somebody that becomes successful out of purely hard work, but they say they're not, say they're a comedian that's not very funny, but they just, they play out all the time and people notice them, they're just around a lot, and they get something, like they become a writer on something, or whatever, they get some sort of degree of success, just because of hard work, whereas there's maybe, you know, there might be somebody that's actually funny, that I think is like a talent for being funny, and they get passed by. Whereas, like, if they were just maybe given one opportunity, they would flourish.
There's no such thing as one opportunity.
So What I'm afraid of is somebody that's not really
wrong. You don't get one shot. You get about 1,000 shots, and you multiple shots, shot well, prove it. And that's hard work.
Kevin, I'm not sure I understand. It sounds like you're saying that you feel bad for the people who don't get noticed because they don't work hard.
I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to say is what I really don't want... I'm worried when you say something like that because I really don't want somebody that's not... that's really not talented but just does a lot of work to become successful. I want the people that are really talented and do maybe hard work, maybe not quite as much, to become successful too.
No, you have to do the fucking work, man.
I think, ideally, you should have both.
Well, ideally,
somebody who's really talented at whatever they do, and they also work really hard. Those are obviously the people that are going to succeed.
Yeah, like the Corollas, the Ira Glasses. Like,
there's a guy from high school that I feel the same way about.
Who's that? Who's your high school friend?
His name is Brad Ellis.
What does Brad Ellis do? Is he related to Brett Easton Ellis?
I never thought about that. That would be very odd. Yeah. I didn't know who Brad Easton
Ellis
was.
Okay, go. What does this guy do?
He works, I believe, for Google Asia.
Wow. Okay.
He in high school, I believe he like skipped a bunch of grades and learned a million languages and was like the smartest person that anybody knew.
Okay.
But he was also like, I knew a lot of people that did that because I hung out with nerds, right? A lot of people that were really smart, but some of them were dicks.
Okay.
I could resent those people because they were mean. But this guy was really smart, worked really hard, and was also really nice, so I couldn't resent him. I'm just like, okay, whatever success you have, you deserve.
So I don't see the problem.
Because he was like a triple threat.
I don't understand why that's a problem.
It's not a problem. Somebody like that deserves their success.
I don't...
you know, I feel like... Okay, say you've got a few categories, right? You've got talent, you've got work ethic, and you've got, let's just say that, those two things, right?
Yeah.
And you have a situation where you've got somebody with a lot of talent but no work ethic.
Yeah.
Right? They're probably not going to succeed. They might have some success because their sheer talent might make somebody notice them and maybe they'll get some money, right?
Yeah.
But you've got somebody with all work ethic and no talent. They're probably going to succeed more so than the person with all talent, no work ethic. And I don't like that.
Well, that's because consistency rules.
I find that a little sad.
No, it's not sad. If you're not going to show up, how are we going to showcase you? Think of it like this show. If somebody doesn't show up, I don't care how talented they are, they're worthless to me. They're worse than the guy that worked hard and wasn't that funny. But he worked hard, and he tried, and he showed the fuck up. That's more important.
I would like to have...
It's more important to have a body than an idea of talent. And that's what it really boils down to.
I can see it. I do see what you're coming from.
Have you booked a show here?
No.
Okay, book a fucking show here and book six people. Book three people you don't think are talented but are hard workers, and then book three super talented people that don't work hard. You know they don't work hard. See who shows up. I say two of the three people that are super talented don't show up.
Right.
I bet both of those people didn't tell anybody about the show.
Right.
And the three people that worked really hard brought people.
Right.
And that's also important.
But if they're not talented...
Now, I'm not saying you're going to pay them.
Right.
It's not about money.
Right.
No, I'm serious. That boils down to two, because this is just an experiment here. It's very important to have talent. Now, if money is involved, you obviously have to go with the talented, but you can't go with purely talented. You have to find that mix.
Right, like I said, ideally speaking, you want both.
Yeah, but the idea isn't there. The ideal isn't there,
right.
I should say.
Right.
That's really what it
is. That's the rare thing. Like, that's when you have somebody that you would consider, like, a genius.
That's Orson Welles. I did was fucking finagle his way into gigs and then proved it consistently.
But then he ended up destitute.
That was his ego. Takes over. You gotta hate yourself at all times.
So to be successful, hate yourself.
No, I think Michael Jordan fucking loves himself.
No, he thinks he's the best.
And he was the best. And you know what happened to him? He lost half his fucking money to his wife that he cheated on. So there's a mix.
Of his $12 billion.
Doesn't matter.
He only has $6 billion.
He's gonna die alone because of gigantism. It doesn't matter. Everyone is where they're supposed to be. That's all I'm saying.
So your plan for keeping it real is continually hating yourself?
Number one, hate myself. Number two, keep it on the down low.
Right.
Number three, find more shitty bars where no one's watching me. Number four, consistently try to compete against football.
Right. That worked out really well this Monday.
I fucking forgot about Thursday Night Football when I booked the show.
They have Thursday Night Football now?
Yeah.
They run out of days of the week?
So every
We're going to make a new day to have football on. It's called Smur Day. And we'll have football on Smur Day.
You sound like such an idiot. Every show at the Looking Glass, I'm competing against fucking football in the corner.
They have football on Thursday?
Yes!
It's not like high school football?
No, it's not high school. Friday Night Lights, those are on Friday.
Okay, not Thursday Night Lights, that's legitimate.
Yeah, it's legit. It's legit. Fucking football's following me around. I love football. I have a Bears coat on. But no, it's just so... You don't think of these things until it's too late. You're like, I'm competing against the Bears in Chicago, and I'm not there. It's hurting the draw. Four nights before, I'm getting hurt by a game that means nothing. But fucking fantasy football, now every game means something. So a game that no one would have watched, now everyone who follows fantasy is in the bar watching.
Everybody watched the league on FX.
I haven't seen the league.
I saw one episode of it. I like Paul Scheer. He's awesome.
What about Nick Kroll?
Oh, man. He's all right on the show, but he's fucking El Chupacabra.
El Chupacabra.
That is the funniest thing in the world. Oh, my God. What? He does this character called El Chupacabra.
El
Chupacabra.
Cinco.
He's like
not on the show. He does it on podcast.
It's a parody of like a Mexican broadcaster.
Why are we
plugging
him? He's like my age, right?
Nick Kroll?
Nick Kroll's a young dude.
That's sad. I mean, not sad. It's great. But
Nick Kroll is fucking brilliant.
He's really
funny. Have you seen I Am Comic?
No.
It's on streaming. You'll love it. It's a documentary about comedy. Todd Glass is in like half of it. You love Todd Glass, right?
Todd Glass.
You love Todd Glass? Do you listen to comedy and everything else?
No, I don't know that.
Holy shit. You'll love Todd Glass. It's right up your alley, dude.
All right.
He's hilarious. Anyways, Nick Kroll's got a bit in I Am Comic because David tells us, like, why do all these comedy documentaries have to be super sad? And Nick Kroll does, it's like, I wrote my mom a post-dated check for $5,000. And mom, in 5 years, you're going to be able to cash this, so... 5 years later, I took her to the bank, and I watched her try to cash that check. I started crying, because I was so happy, because that check bounced. I hate my mother. Like, some shit like that. It's fucking brilliant. He's so fucking sharp. He's going to be one of these... Hopefully, he doesn't die of heroin. But he's
like
that fucking good.
Based on the way that you were doing that voice, sounds like heroin.
You made a stupid, like, I'm judging you face.
Yeah, you know.
Who, do you like anything?
Yeah, I like lots of things.
Name one comic you like in Chicago.
In Chicago, I like Junior Sopka.
Junior's funny.
Junior's awesome.
Have you ever talked to Junior?
Yeah, I had a conversation with
him. What did you and Junior talk about?
We talked about Super Mario Brothers 3. It was awesome. No, he was like, man, that was the best game I ever played. That game was... I played that when I was a kid.
Nothing like Junior. Junior sounds like Rocky to me.
Well, I don't really know what that is. Rocky.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah. Oh, right. Sure.
Did you ever see the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie?
No, with fucking Jason Alexander and the girl from... De Niro?
And yeah, De Russo.
Oh,
did
man.
You see it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good. No joke. It's good? So, yes.
Like, actually
so
funny, not in an ironic way.
Did you see Judge the
Pussycats? Yeah.
Did you like that?
I did, actually.
Is it good?
No.
Okay, then you won't like
it. Yeah, I was a fan of the original Rocky Bullwinkle cartoon, in the sense.
It's good, dude. It's so little great satire. Like, every fucking beat they hit, man. No joke. I highly recommend Rocky Bullwinkle.
I'm super
I haven't
surprised.
Seen it since it came out right on VHS when I was working at Blockbuster.
Like, 1998? 2000? Something
2000,
like that?
I think 2000.
You think it holds up?
I hope it does. I gotta rewatch it. Holy shit. That movie's really good. No joke. Really good.
I'm very surprised to hear that, but...
I hope Yogi Bear is that good.
Me too.
I don't think it is. I don't think
based
it is.
On Neil Hamburger's tweets about
based
it.
Based on everything ever, I don't think it's going to be good. Why did we talk... Why do all these fucking podcasts revolve around comedians I barely talk to?
What do you mean, Junior?
No, like, any of them. Like, I've never talked to Nick Kroll. I sat in front of Nick Kroll once.
Oh, yeah? Where
I
at?
Sat in front, actually, I sat in front of Nick Kroll and Aziz Ansari.
Where at?
At the Lakeshore for the Eugene Merman album taping.
Oh,
typing.
Yeah.
And Kelvin's like, do we know them? Are they, do they play at the Brain? I was like, I hope. Like,
yeah,
they're on Human Giant and shit.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay. That's what I like about having Kelsey as my girlfriend. She's like, do I know them through you and comedy? In a way, you do.
Well, when you go to New York, you got Aziz is in New York and Eugene Merman is in New York.
No, right? Aziz is in LA now for Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get Eugene Merman on the show. We got Nick Vatterott for the first one. He just did Fallon. He's a Chicago guy. Here's my thing. I know this is dumb, but here's my ultimate goal for the podcast listener. I think I talked about this before. Put it in the Wikipedia page. I want to get a TV show. I want to do You, Me, Them, Everybody Live on late night. In theory, right after Ferguson. I don't want to compete against Ferguson. Ferguson.
So that would be at, like, what, 1:30 in the
1:30
morning?
1:30 Chicago time, 2:30 Eastern time. I don't care, because no one's watching. I get to experiment with
right.
the format and hopefully get really good.
Yeah.
I think right now I'm competent. I think I've gone from awful to competent in a scant 13 months.
Hey.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
But I can competently host a show. I want to get to the level of good to get the show. And then I want to get to the level of really good.
You're going to do
then,
the Tonight Show?
No, fuck that. Here's the ultimate goal. No joke. I want to bring the show to Chicago. There's never been a late night show in Chicago. There's been daytime shows in Chicago. Daytime's known for Chicago, thanks to Oprah.
Oprah, her, Jerry Springer,
Donahue.
All that.
And
oh, yeah.
Donahue.
Yeah.
Donahue had the number one radio talk show in the 80s. He brought it from New York to Chicago. I want to bring the show to Chicago. So what I'm doing is every time I can, I book a Chicago comic, regardless if it's D.C. or New York.
Right.
Nick Vatterott, he's a Chicago comic that moved a few years ago. I'm going to keep trying to do that.
We'll get, like, Hannibal.
I'll get Hannibal
York.
And shit like that.
Yeah.
But, like, fuck. By the way, I hung out with Hannibal the other week.
Yeah.
Not a fan of Hannibal right now. I don't know why. Like,
really? I mean, just as a person or as a comic?
Person, like, Hannibal, like, pissed me off. But, like, I realized in retrospect, like, he doesn't owe me anything. I was
right.
pissed off.
He was doing you a favor.
Yeah, he was doing me a favor. Like, I was there the night I was scouting for venues the other week. I was like, last minute, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I should just ask Hannibal. So I emailed Hannibal, like, last at, like, 8 o'clock. I was like, hey, man, are you going up anywhere? I'll meet you.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm doing this slot here. I'm leaving Williamsburg right now. I'm like, all right, great. I'll see you there. As soon as I get there, he's like, oh, you just missed me. I was like, sorry. He's like, can I buy you a drink? He's like, yeah, sure. So I buy him a drink.
Apple juice?
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a comedy fan joke. No, I buy him a Jameson and ginger. And I was like, I could spend $6. It's $8. I'm like, fuck. Because I get me one.
Right.
So that's $20 on the drink.
Yeah.
It was $9. Because then with tip, it was $20 even.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
New York, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a stereotype. It's reality.
Yeah.
By the way. way, the place we're doing the show at, $2.50 pass, so I make sure there's at least one cheap drink.
Good.
It's one of my rules. I'm like, man, that's so great. Thanks for inviting me out. He's like, yeah, no problem. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to bring my show here. And he started naming, like, he's like, yeah, did you check out this place? I was like, no. I was like, have you gone to this? And then I would be like, hey, have you done this place? He's like, yeah, it's okay. He was kind of helping me out for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know these comics? You named like 3 or 4. And I was like, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And he's like, yeah, I got to go. I'm going up here. And I was like, all right, bye. So I hung out with Hannibal for like literally 15, 20 minutes max.
Yeah.
But like, we couldn't really talk because there's like another comic on stage and shit. And then he's left and was like, fuck that guy. He should have done that. I'm like, what the fuck should he have done? Why am I angry?
Yeah,
and
I realized, you should be happy to get whatever you get.
He was trying to help me out. He was a very nice man. He introduced me to Nick, who was very nice to me as well. And I was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm not even going to ask Hannibal. I'll ask Nick because I know Hannibal's busy. He's doing Letterman that week. Like, he's a busy guy. And I realized I was never pissed at Hannibal. I was pissed at paying $9 for a drink, and I'm taking it out on very nice people.
Yeah.
Which brings me back to this from 8 monologues ago, maybe 13. We all need to be between 2 and 3 drinks, and I should have amended that. We need to be able to afford the 2 to 3 drinks. If we can't afford what we're drinking, we're not going to enjoy our drinks. And if we don't enjoy our drinks, fucking kill yourself. Because if you can't enjoy the alcohol in front of you, what's there to live for? That's what it really boils down to. Being nice to everybody, and it's hard to fucking be nice to someone that's very nice and helping you and can give a shit about you. Hannibal doesn't give a shit about me. He shouldn't give a shit about me. He's done me favors. I've never done him a fucking favor. He's a nice man. Why the fuck would I ever be mad at him? I was mad at New York prices. And I don't think that's why I'll ever like New York that much.
But what was that? There was a line in Mad Men that was something like, our generation drank because we like it.
Yeah.
And your generation, you drink to forget something.
Yeah.
Or to
yeah, you're right. Sterling told Drake for that.
Yeah.
World War I versus World War II.
So Roger Sterling told...
Or no, World War II versus Korea.
Okay, so Roger Sterling, the older people said, we drink because we like it.
Yeah.
And he said to Don Draper, you drink because you're trying to forget something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was saying, like, you don't actually like drinking. You don't even like, you actually...
No, I wouldn't imagine, I've not seen the new season, but I would imagine so. No, Don Draper drinks because...
Yeah.
He's always angling for something else.
Yeah, so what we need to do, that's right, thank you, John. That was a great add-on. Kudos. We should drink. We should be happy. We should be thankful. That's a good holiday message, actually.
Drink.
No, I'm serious. Drink and fucking be merry. It's true. We should enjoy our drinks together. I'm enjoying this time with you two gentlemen. Would I die of alcoholism at a young age?
Right.
This is what I'll remember. I'll be
you missed
happy.
The 27.
I know.
Yeah.
I could Christ it up, though. Hopefully, I can be a huge dick, beat my wife, develop a heroin addiction... Then
like Christ did.
He was totally on the smack, man.
We're getting to Christ very soon. Bigger than Christ. Wink. Wink. And then 6 months before I die, people will think I'm redeemed and I'm a family man. And then the week I die, I release Double Fantasy 2, The Wrath of Khan. And I'll be the John Lennon, and I'll be 40. See, that's great. That's what I need to do. Everyone's like, John Lennon would have been 70. John Lennon would have been 70 and a huge heroin addiction for like 10 years.
No, he didn't.
And he beat the fuck out of women. He would have been dead. The fact that he didn't pull a Sam Cooke and some random woman didn't kill him is insane. He would have been dead like a year later, a month later. The dude was a dick. Fuck John Lennon. I'm the best, if I'm nice. Sorry, Hannibal, you're very nice.
That'd make a good monologue, too. Let's have you set up a monologue about, fuck John Lennon, I'm better than him.
Well, there's a problem.
Too soon. You get people yelling.
That'd be great. No, James Fritz has it as one of his tags.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, it's like finding out that Santa Claus isn't a lie, or isn't real, or John Lennon was a dick to women, or something like that.
It's kind of sad. I mean, like...
It's not sad. You know who was a dick to women? Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain. Nirvana played a shitload of benefits for Bosnian rape victims.
Right.
Good man. Spoke against it. Wrote a song called fucking Polly about that shit. Good guy. Killed himself at 27. John Lennon didn't have the guts to kill himself at 27.
So he made Mark David Chapman do it.
Yeah. It was...
Suicide by crazy.
Yeah. He paid him to assassinate him. You didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
That's a fact. It's a fact I made up.
I can just imagine John looking in the mirror every morning when he wakes up, like, maybe today's the day.
Today's the day where I go to Strawberry Fields forever!
Maybe so they, I've been trying to provoke crazy people for years. I said I'm bigger than Jesus.
Breaking up the Beatles.
I had a long haircut. I look crazy in these glasses. I left my wonderful wife to bore my son for a crazy artist lady that put an apple on a ladder. No joke. That's how they met.
Yep. It said yes at the top, or no, I can't remember what.
It said stupid. This is stupid.
It said,
I wrote a song called Imagine.
I'm a conceptual
artist. One of my
artist.
Most favorite songs, maybe most wonderful songs about God. I'm the only person that ever wrote a Christmas song that said, what have you done in the first line of the song? No one's ever written a self-accusatory Christmas song until I came along. It's taken this long for somebody to kill me? I spent 8 years doing coke and heroin with Elton John in L.A. and no one fucking batted an eyelash. By the way, Ringo's an awesome drummer that I made fun of for years. I was a dick for no reason. Mother, I'm rich. I forgot I'm rich.
You know
I'm,
what?
I gotta.
He was really talented.
He's all right.
I got a John Lennon story I can tie into the holidays. One of my older siblings for Christmas got a Precious Moments figurine.
John Lennon with, Precious Moments.
Was it precious?
Something like that.
Is it now Precious Sapphire?
There it is.
It had little.
Tyler Perry, I'll represent.
You know your typical Precious Moments things, little angels, little with wings and.
Did
whatever.
She have a bucket of fried chicken and run away?
And what I thought was,
occasionally vomit the chicken out.
What I thought was fucked up though is.
And that actually is in the movie.
There was a button on it that played the song Imagine. Coming out of this thing, and I'm like,
there's no god.
Imagine. Right, like my older sister is who it was.
He co-wrote the song Fame.
That song sucks.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Like I had to explain to her, like you know, it's a little thing with angels, and it says something like "All glory be to God" or something on it, and I'd
good
be like,
thing there's none.
It's extremely ironic that it's playing Imagine, because like one of the first lines in the song is "Imagine no religion." It
isn't hard to try.
Yeah, it's.
It isn't hard to. Fuck you. Fuck. Stop telling me what to do, John Lennon.
Like, how did that happen? That song got on that thing.
Do more heroin.
Maybe that's the answer.
John Lennon is the only magician.
Always the answer. He had a very big magic career before he got involved with.
How do you play the sitar? You take a shitload of LSD and then you're a magician.
That would explain the long hair and the stupid glasses.
John Lennon was a magician. He wasn't a musician. He was a magician of song. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, and the Wikipedia page. Parentheses, magician of song. God damn it. Oh, good times with John Lennon. Only 30 years have gone by. My entire life. I never got to meet John.
I was alive for a little bit
and
of his
JFK
life.
Jr., who was also referred to John.
John. Remember when he was, there was that Seinfeld episode where Elaine wanted to fuck him?
Yep. Banging John.
Yep.
Banging.
You know that was the contest episode that you mentioned earlier.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Oh, you're right.
Call back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm now going into Jack A voice, which reminds me of Junior Stocco. Why do I keep doing this? Apparently, the funniest person to me in the entire world right now is Junior Stocco.
He is very
and Jack
funny.
A.
And Jack A. Well, Jack A is done by Junior Stocco.
Right.
Presented by Oprah Winfrey and Tyra Perry, for that's just now push.
That was on Netflix Instant Watch. I haven't actually.
We gotta watch it. Want to do a viewing party?
Yeah, that's great.
Fried chicken and then run around and vomit.
Yeah, maybe.
And then I get to throw frying pans at you and win Academy Awards. By the way, I'm an awful comic and human being. I don't shave my legs. I made a movie called Soul Plane. I set back racism 50 years in one fall. So Soul Plane, that movie exists, starring Academy Award winner Monique. She's a fucking talk show host. I don't have a talk show. That's insane.
Does she still have the show?
I think she does, yeah.
I didn't know she still had it.
How did she fit that movie into her schedule?
She just threw frying pans from one studio to the next.
Right. She did bits on her show about, I'm throwing a frying pan.
They just filmed her and it just fit the part.
She was just backstage. Didn't know she was in a movie.
Was Precious's mom the host of a talk show?
Yeah.
Okay.
This talk's about racism and how I'm setting people back hundreds of years. I used to love Monique. No joke.
I don't know anything about her.
I liked her first special a lot.
But I used to like binge drinking a lot too. So.
Right, right.
I don't know.
You used to be a wet European. Dry European.
I am a wet European. I was a dry European. I think that's it. I'm getting it wrong. We should have ended this show about 20 minutes ago.
That's right.
You got any holiday wishes, gents, before we wrap this up? John, what's your holiday wish? Let's thank God.
Let's just say enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy the weekend. That's good. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. What, Kevin, what's your holiday wish?
I hope you get good shit.
Get some good shit.
I hope that I am not completely alone on Christmas Day.
Are you being serious?
No, I know. I have a party to go to.
You got a party to go to because you don't believe in Jesus?
Yeah.
The Savior Jesus Christ?
That's right.
What's my holiday wish? Okay, here's my holiday wish. I hope that one of you listeners out there does three things. Number one, write an awesome Wikipedia page about me / you, me, them, everybody. Number two, win the lottery. When I say the lottery, I mean like Mega Millions lottery, like $123 million.
Multi-state?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Multi-state, obviously. Yeah. I'm not a rube. Right. I want multi-state winners.
Right.
Number three, take that money you won in the lottery and give me a few million. It will be nothing to you. And you, me, them, everybody will be a tribute to you. Me, them, everybody. So, in closing, Wikipedia, lottery, give me money. Presented by Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, Precious, based on the novel Push.
By Sapphire.
By Sapphire.
And John Lennon.
Imagine all the people winning the lottery and giving it to me.
That was in an early version, I think. He cut it out.
Later. John Lennon beat women.
Yeah.
I didn't
imagine
beat women.
Imagine all the women.
I'm going to beat the fuck out of them! I have a mother! God! That's a mashup. Oh, wish number four. For Christmas Day, hurry up, listeners. I want... No, request kindly the mashup album, Shaq Fu, The Return, and In Utero.
Right.
Shaq Fu, Duh, In Utero, parentheses, rape me because my biological didn't bother. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful evening.